Praise God. I do once again want to welcome all you here for Rhema College Weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed a wonderful weekend, and hopefully we'll see you back soon, whether it be in the fall, whether it be in the spring, or whether it be next year. We would love to have you back, and hopefully you enjoyed yourself here in beautiful Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where we don't have no beaches, no mountains, but we have God, so that's all that really matters. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles or you have your devices, you can turn to Romans 10:17. I'm sure most of you can probably quote it without turning there. But it says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I was trying to figure out what the Lord would want me to minister on, it dawned on me while I was looking through all my notes and stuff that the majority of time that I minister on the subject of faith, it's on Wednesday night, which is great for those that go on Wednesday night, but there's more people that come on Sunday morning than come on Wednesday night. And if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then if we don't hear, then faith doesn't come. Now, why does it come by hearing? Because it reminds us that, you know what God's word says. You know, that's one reason that I really enjoy when people give testimonies, because your testimony can inspire somebody else's faith. Because you know what? Maybe somebody else is going through something similar that you're going through, and because you read a testimony or you heard something, it'll help you. Just like if you have a rare disease, I'm sure there's somebody with a rare disease that got healed. And I'm sure with the internet, you can find somebody that has a testimony how God healed them. But the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Now, my grandfather will read it this way all the time. He would say, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said the Greek word there, which is a Greek word I don't know. What do you mean? I don't know what the Greek word was. He never told us what the Greek word was. I actually never looked it up. Never cared. Because you know what? I don't really care about the Greek word. I want to know the English word. Now, I understand the Greek word can help us understand the English word, but some people just want to look edumacated. All right, they want to look educated, so they look up what the Greek word is, and they mispronounce the Greek word because they don't speak Greek, and so they mispronounce it. But that's fine. Majority of ministers that I know are not Greek or Hebrew scholars; they just have Bible dictionaries and different things like that, different tools. Now there are some that obviously have learned Greek and Hebrew. I'm still working on English. You know, do you realize that Jesus, I mean, he spoke in the language of the day, all right? So I don't speak in Greek. Now, if I was in Greece, I might speak in Greek. Although the Bible is written in ancient Greek, and there's actually a newer Greek. You know, it's like New Coke and Old Coke. No, I'm just kidding. I guess New Coke isn't very new. For those of you that weren't alive in 1985, Coca-Cola decided to change to New Coke. Because in taste tests, people like New Coke better than Old Coke. New Coke failed, Old Coke came back, and so it's kind of thing. But yeah, there's two different kinds of Greek, which I didn't realize that until I was in Greece and talking to this lady who goes, yeah, I read both ancient Greek and she has books in ancient Greek and books in Northern Greek, but it's all Greek to me. I don't know. But here, this Greek word denotes continuous action. So if we want to keep building our faith, we have to continue to hear faith over and over and over again. And that's why that my grandfather, from the day he got off the deathbed till the day he passed on, basically almost always preached nothing but faith. And, you know, read the same scriptures over and over and over. Because I can tell you, I've sat in many, 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 many meetings and heard the same thing over and over and over again. But you know what? I remember one time about, I don't know, 10, 12 years into being the crusade director and traveling all over the world. I mean, I'm like, every time I would get something new. And in fact, you know, this term here at Rhema Bible Training College, I have Faith Library 2, where I teach all my faith notes. And every year, it gets better and better and better. I always pray that the Lord will make it easier and easier and easier for people to understand faith, because it's easy to understand faith. It's not that hard. Now, the hard part is to really believe. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I do want to say this, because some people don't realize, you know, when we read the Bible, look at the Bible, because of modern times, we don't think about the times that they live in. Do you realize that most of you here, you know, probably are now carrying some kind of device with your Bible on it? Now, this device has all kinds of different translations in English. And then if you want Spanish translations, have Spanish translations. We can even read Chinese Bible translations, in our devices, because we carry around. Do you realize that nobody in the Old or New Testament had any kind of device with any kind of Bibles on it? All right. Now, most people realize that because, the Bible started with King James. It did not start with King James, folks. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing, you know, because people think the King James is the original. If you don't preach from the King James, you're it's an abomination to God or whatever. But, you know, that's fine. You can preach the King James, but you need to be able to understand it. If you can't understand the King James, then find something you can understand, because it's more important you understand the Bible than actually just reading it. All right. But back in the olden days, so back here, you know, where Paul was alive and Jesus was alive, but here Paul specifically, he wrote letters to the church. Most churches got one letter. Corinthians got two letters because they were a bad church, I guess. I don't know. They needed extra help. You know, but do you realize that if I happen to live in Philippi, we didn't get Corinthians letters. We didn't get letters to all the other churches. You know, we just got the our own letter. So the only way for the Lord to minister the things that might have been other people's letters is by divine inspiration while the minister is speaking. All right? And then, you know, they didn't have the luxury of being able to read it, because you realize that there were no Xerox copiers or no copy machines there in that time. All right? That's why I am happy to say that I'm glad I'm alive in the 21st century. All right? A lot of people say, man, I just wish I was alive during Jesus' time. Do you like walking all the time? Maybe riding a donkey? You know, you'd be in better shape, but we'll say that. I like air condition. I don't know about you. And when it's cold, I like heat. You know, and it's interesting, because some of the same people that said they wish they were alive during Jesus' times, their air conditioner goes out in the summertime, and they can't make it one day with fans. Because you realize these people didn't have fans either. They didn't have electricity. Sometimes people don't realize what they had to go through, in the Bible times. I'm just glad I'm not alive during those times. I'm glad I'm alive, today. I believe it's the greatest day to be alive, ever. You know, I believe that we're going to experience the greatest revival in human history, and I'm excited. And besides, thinking about that, we do need to pray for the country of Israel, obviously being attacked, and things like that. But the Bible, you know what the Bible says? It says in the last days, it talks about we're going to have wars and rumors of wars, but that is not the end. It goes on to say many different things will happen, but the biggest thing is a revival is going to happen. And that's the biggest thing. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have an advantage. Not only can we hear a minister preach, we have the advantage we can actually read the Word. And I would encourage every person to read the Bible at least one time through, in your life. I mean, if you're a minister, you probably should read it more. But at least one time through, get a Bible reading program. We used a one-year Bible for a long time growing up. And it's good to read the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, but also faith cometh by reading. All right? And in fact, how many times have you read a book? And, some people say, well, this is my favorite book. And then they made a movie about the book that was your favorite book, and you went and saw the movie, and you didn't like the movie as much as the book. Because the movie didn't, And a lot of times the movies are based upon a novel. All right, not that they're, you know, that Hollywood wants to put some Hollywood magic, so to speak, you know, in it that may or may not help the story, might take away from it or whatever. But faith comes by hearing. So if you need more faith, what you need to do? You need to hear more, or you need to read more. Now, we also live in a day and age where we have, you know, all kinds of channels, all kinds of, there's all kinds of Christian channels on television, all kinds of things on the internet, you know, YouTube. Brother Hagin, my grandfather, we have 120,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. He's still preaching away on YouTube every day. All right. But now here's the thing. I do want to say this. Just because somebody gets online and preaches doesn't make it right either. And so one thing Brother Hagin always even, so I do refer to my grandfather as Brother Hagin so people know who I'm talking about, okay? So it's, you know, that's just, I know it kind of sounds weird. Isn't that your grandfather? Yeah, but if I said Papa, you'd be like, who? You know. So when I refer to my grandfather, I always refer to him a lot of times as Brother Hagin. So it, even though he is my grandfather, and I do understand my grandfather, all right? But for those of you that always wonder, why do you call your grandfather Brother Hagin? Because everybody else does too, all right? And so, actually, when he was alive, most of the graduates called him Dad Hagin. But I couldn't do that either, because if I were to say Dad, they would think I'm talking about my dad and not him, you know, because he was my grandfather. I say Papa, and if I say Papa, you think I'm a kid or something like that. So, still Brother Hagin, all right? But, you know, my grandfather would always say that when you listen to my messages or reading my books, I want to get your Bible out, and I want you to make sure that I'm not misquoting. Make sure that it's in context and things like that. You know what? And just because one minister has a really good message doesn't mean the next one's really good. Just because one person comes out with a really good book doesn't mean the next book's going to be really good. You know, just because a movie comes out and the sequel comes out doesn't mean the sequel's going to be very good. But Top Gun Maverick was awesome, you know, but, you know, but I'm not sure about Rocky 28. I mean, you know, that was kind of, obviously hadn't got to 28 yet, but, you know, after a while, I'm like, you know, like Fast and Furious, we're too old to be fast, but we're still furious or whatever, I don't know. I'm not sure what number they're on now, but I don't know, I quit watching like number 3 or 4, so. I once in a while it's on cable, so I'm like, you know, I'm just turned by. I'm like, I'll just watch these cars do whatever. You know, watch the actors get older and older and older. Yeah, I started out at 19. Now I'm 98. You know, still creating a Fast and Furious, you know, sequel or whatever. Anyway, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we got to continue to hear faith. Now, if we want to know what faith is, we have to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And like I said, you know, in a 30-minute sermon, we're not going to cover everything on faith. But Hebrews 11:1 says this, New King James, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like the first part that says now faith. See, faith is always now. It's always present tense. All right? When you have faith, you have it now. Now, hope is always future tense. All right? So after I had been preaching, I don't know, 12 years in the ministry, and pretty much mainly on faith and healing, I actually got the notion to look up the word faith in the dictionary. Now, you have to understand, you know, I lived before the internet, okay? I mean, and even the internet, you know, in its infancy, we just couldn't Google everything. Actually, Yahoo was the search engine of choice in the beginning anyway. But you know, nowadays I Google a lot of stuff. I call myself a Googleologist for those of you who don't know what a Googleologist is. That's the guy that's stupid enough to go to the 20th page on Google and research stuff. I mean, you know, I'll research things like crazy, you know, on Google. But before that, I didn't have Google. I had encyclopedias in my house, but I mean, those are all out of date. If you don't know what an encyclopedia is, it's... look it up on YouTube. They might show you what an encyclopedia is or was. Or if you have a grandparent, they might have a set in their you know, still in their bookcases. It's what us older folks used to actually do research with. It was always old research, but it still was research. You know, it is what it is. And so So what I did was I would look up words in the dictionary. I got a dictionary. I got Webster's New World Dictionary because when I showed up at Oklahoma State University, I walked in the student union. A nice, lovely lady was there in a little tent type thing. And she says, if you'll apply for this Citibank card, we'll give you this handy-dandy set. It had a thesaurus, had a dictionary, and had antonyms and synonyms, I guess, right? Antonyms or whatever. I didn't use the other two books. I took the dictionary, it was a little paperback dictionary, and I carried it around. It was Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition, and I carried it around in my briefcase for years, and I'm glad it was that one. Because if you look up the word faith in other dictionaries, it's not the same definition. But when I read the dictionary's definition of faith, it changed my world. All right? And I found out you online people, if you go to yourdictionary.com, that's the Webster's New World Dictionary, the Collegiate Dictionary. The first definition is complete trust, confidence, or alliance. No, that didn't help me. But the second definition of this says this: an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. So faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require any proof or evidence. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, our faith is the evidence. Amen. All right? So faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Now, unquestioning belief changed my mentality. Because we've all done this, we've all asked, God, when is this going to happen? Do you realize, folks, when is a question? According to the dictionary, you're not in faith. How come it's not a question? I mean, it's a question. How come this hasn't happened, Lord? You know, why is this happening, Lord? You know, who, where, when, why, how, all these things are questions. So if you're questioning, according to the dictionary, you're not in faith. Now, I'm here to tell you, your mind will question, all right? But that's when the Bible says you have to cast down imaginations. When the devil or somebody, because he said, well, that was my roommate that brought that up, you know, or that was, you know, my friend or whatever. Okay, I'm not calling them the devil, all right? I'm not saying maybe the devil's using them, but a lot of times, you know, they're just trying to give you facts. We have good friends that want to give us facts, you know, and they don't understand your faith. And so, but we don't ever question, because why would you question when something that's already happened? See, faith is a knowing. It's a knowing, not a wanting. See, a lot of people think they're in faith, but they're wanting. If you're wanting something, you're still hoping. You're a hoping and a praying. And a lot of Christians are a hoping and a praying than knowing they have. See, it's one thing to hope and to pray, and another thing to know you have something. When you know you have it, then there's no question of whether it's going to come. Now, the Bible clearly says that by his stripes we were healed. Actually, it clearly says that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. 700 years before it really happened, it was prophesied about that his stripes would be our healing. Now, it says, by his stripes we were healed. It doesn't say by his stripes you're going to get healed. It says you were healed. The word were is always past tense. That means you have been healed. You're like, well, but I don't feel like I'm healed. Well, you know what? It's not about your feelings. It's not about your feelings. Now, a lot of times, your feelings is what starts your doubt, because you don't feel like you're healed. You don't feel good. You know, I don't care how you feel. What does God's word say? Now, most of your church members here, you know my grandfather's, saying. It's actually on a t-shirt. We have it back there in the bookstore. It says this: the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. All right? And if you knew my grandfather, if the Bible says something, you can't take it away from him. But you know what? You can take it away from most of us, but because, you know, the Bible says that you know, we have it, but for whatever reason, we don't feel it. You know, well, you know, this verse talks about, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I looked up hope in the dictionary. And hope is to desire and consider possible. There's a difference between having something and considering it possible. All right? To wish for a particular event that one considers possible. Or my favorite, a feeling that what is wanted may happen. All right? But your faith is more than a feeling. Your faith is a knowing that it has already happened by faith. You're like, but I don't see it. Your faith is the evidence. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Whenever you pray, that's the evidence. You have it by faith. You're like, well, but I don't see it. But this is not a natural thing. Just like when you got saved, did you actually see the Spirit of the living God come and drop into your heart? Well, no, I know he's there because I felt it. See, that's the problem, because a lot of people feel something, you know, so because they feel something, you know, they go by feelings. All right, but you might have felt it when you got saved, you know, and sometimes people say whenever they got prayed for, they felt it, but the next morning, they weren't feeling it. All right, and so whether you feel it or don't feel it, it doesn't matter. The thing is, what does God's word say? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is the evidence. I don't have to see it. Some of you that are a little older might remember the Toyota commercial. It says, oh, what a feeling. They're all jumping up and down or whatever. Anyone remember that? That might be a little bit older. I'm sure it's on YouTube if you really want to go back and see it. And the only reason, basically what happened is, you know, when someone got a new Toyota, or I like to say it like, anyone ever watch The Price is Right? I grew up watching The Price is Right. My grandmother tipped him. My mom's mom loved The Price is Right. If you were with her, I mean, that was part of her TV schedule. You had to watch it. In fact, one of my things, I actually wanted to take her to California to see if we can get on The Price is Right. But the reason I say The Price is Right, because I love this when they say, a new car! Well, so when you get a new car, people start jumping up and down, shouting whatever, and that was a Toyota commercial. Oh, what a feeling. They're all jumping up and down, and, you know, they're all excited, and that's cool. But here's the thing, is that whenever you ask the Lord, that's the time to jump up and down. You're like, yeah, but I don't feel like it. It's not about your feelings. It's about, you have to know that your faith works, because your God is not a liar. So whether you feel it or not, if you have to, jump up and down. All right? Or the next time you feel like it's not going to happen, jump up and down and praise God for it. You know, at this church, a lot of times whenever, you know, the music gets going and everyone gets excited, people start running and shouting, but people don't run and shout after they open up, you know, a big, huge bill that they owe at the end of the month. They don't have any money. Nobody shouts and jumps and, you know. But God's still God. God's still God, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, he's still God. You know, but they didn't feel like jumping up and down. But it's not about how you feel like. It's about, what do you know? Well, what I know is the Bible says that when faith comes in, it comes in now. And when it comes over me, I have it now. And my faith is the evidence of things I cannot see. And see, people are blind because they don't realize, because people have trouble having something they cannot see. But you never saw Jesus come in, you know, and dwell in your heart. But you believe he's there. In fact, the majority of you here have not seen your brain. But most of us believe it's there. All right? In fact, you would say, yeah, I've seen my brain. Well, no, if you've seen your brain, it's a brain scan. All right? It wasn't your actual brain. Now, some of you might have gotten a wreck and hit your head. Maybe you actually literally saw your brain. Hopefully you didn't. You probably passed out. Someone else might have saw your brain. But, you know, your brain is there whether you see it or not. I believe it's there. Let's put it this way. Some people I have to question, okay? You know, I mean, but majority of you, I actually believe you have a brain and it's there. All right? Every once in a while, you actually use it. Just because we have a brain doesn't mean that we actually use it, you know. And just because we know the word doesn't mean we actually have faith. Just because we read the word doesn't mean we have faith. In fact, you know, one thing that my grandfather also said, and going back to Hebrews, going back to Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So a lot of us, we have built a capacity for faith because we know what the word of God says, but we never actually put it in the action. We just read it over and over and over and over and over again. You realize, let's just say, and I'm going to pick a sport that most of you, a lot of people have never played, racquetball. All right? So you could actually watch racquetball videos, go online, you do the YouTube, you know, study all the rules of racquetball and never walked on a court before. All right, that doesn't make you an expert racquetball player. Just like I can watch all the NBA I want to, all the college basketball I want to, that does not make me a great basketball player. That makes me a great basketball fan. Now, there are some times that you have a coach that actually didn't play the game, but they studied the game. They know all the X's and O's, so to speak, you know, and they studied it left and right. But that doesn't make me a good player. All right? Just because I can study all the music I want to, that's not going to make me sing better. All right? I mean, I can listen to the radio. I can listen to every genre, everything. That doesn't mean I can sing better. That just means that I know music. And just because you read the word doesn't mean, you know, it means you have a capacity for faith, but you've got to use it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I mean, so hope is always future tense. Faith is always now. Now, a lot of people, they think they're in faith, but they're still in hope. Actually, you know, and I'm not trying to make fun of people, but a lot of times that if you talk to somebody, they'll say this: I'm believing I'm going to get my healing. Wait, you're believing you're going to get something that the Bible already says belongs to you. All right, so people are trying to achieve something that they already have by their faith. Because the Bible clearly says that 2,000 years ago, that when Jesus took the stripes on his back, that by his stripes we were healed. So how are you going to get something that you've already have? Now, the way you get it is by using your faith. You know, and so a lot of times people think they're in faith, but they're really in hope because they're believing they're going. Going is future tense. It's not now. Now, what you need to say is, I believe that I am healed. Then someone's going to tell you, well, you don't look healed. I'm not going by your feelings. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but your feelings do not matter. Now, here's something else. When you go to a doctor and they give you a diagnosis that's not necessarily the report you want, don't curse the doctor out. They're just doing their job. All right, their job is to let you know what's wrong with you and come with a plan of attack. Now, you know, if you have a Christian doctor, that's great. I mean, I've gone to a lot of doctors and they've actually prayed with me, you know, whenever they gave me a diagnosis. But not all doctors are Christian doctors, or not all doctors, you know, they may not be a Christian, but not all doctors want to express their faith at the time. They don't know what you believe, and it doesn't matter. Now, I will say this. A lot of you know that I had a brain tumor, I have a neurosurgeon, Dr. Woosley, and he always prays with all his patients. Or he asks, he goes, can I pray with you? And so I asked Dr. Woosley one time, I ran into him, my wife actually went and saw him about, she was having some neck issues, and I hadn't seen him in years. The funny part about it, first time I saw him, all he wants to do is look at the work that he did in the back of my head, 20 years ago. But then, you know, at the end, whenever he asked if you can pray for us, I actually asked Dr. Weaves a question. I said, does anyone ever say no? And he looked at me and he says, you know, and I don't know, he practiced medicine for probably 50 years. I don't know how long. He's probably retired now. He says, only one or two. He goes, Craig, you got to understand, I'm a neurosurgeon. Usually when people come to see me, it's pretty bad. Some people are like, you know, I'm the last hope they have. And so, you know, interesting part about it is most people really, they don't mind having prayer. In fact, it's interesting because you see people on Facebook and you know their lifestyle, but when the chips are down, can you guys pray for me? I mean, you know. Now, here's the thing. They don't know what you know. You've already been healed 2,000 years ago. So you're not believing you're going to get something. You believe you have it by faith. And that goes for finances and everything. Everything you get for him is by our faith. Now, the New Living Translation of Hebrews 11:1 says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So my grandfather always said that faith brings, hope into the reality. So, you know, first we wanted it, now we have it. See, at first you were hoping. You know, there's a lot of times that we want something, and I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that maybe I research stuff, you know, I want it, but then at some point in time, I decide I'm going to get it. All right. Now, there are times that I decide I'm going to get it, but financially, I don't have the money to get it, and that's when faith comes in. You know, but it's interesting because when we decide that we're going to sit down and actually believe God for something, that's a whole different ball game. I mean, I know that at one point in time, I tell a story. It's actually in my first book, The Power of God, or El Poder de Dios, as in Spanish as well as English. I talk about golf clubs. So for a while, I was wanting a set of golf clubs, a new set of golf clubs for whatever reason, I don't know. I was actually, I can tell you exactly where we were. We were at a meeting. We were in Richmond, Virginia. And it just dawned on me. Why don't I just believe God for my golf clubs? Because God loves me. In fact, according to the Bible, I'm his favorite person. He even says that. Craig, you're it does. You know, I'm here to tell you that you're his favorite person too. God loves us that much. So what's a set of golf clubs? You know, it's not that hard. You know, could I have bought the golf clubs? Yeah. Did I want to spend my money? No. So I just got serious. It was in the middle of my grandfather's message on that morning, teaching on faith. And I'm like, thank you, Father, for my new golf clubs. I mean, you know, and, you know, so I said it every day. Multiple times a day, every time I woke up, every time I went to bed, and multiple times during the day, I would thank the Lord for my new golf clubs. Now, I had already picked out, I'd already done research on the internet, picked out the golf clubs I wanted. So, now I do tell people a lot of times, make it your screensaver, but I didn't want to write golf clubs on my screensaver on my phone. And at that time, you couldn't, we had an old Nokia that you couldn't put screensavers on phones anyway. You couldn't. You had to text the old-fashioned way. Did anyone know how the old-fashioned text where you had to hit 50 million buttons? That was like, that's like 1950s, I think, you know, so. Seemed like it was years ago, but, you know, it's so inconvenient. But anyway, we couldn't put, but I would say if you're believing God for a car, whatever, get a screensaver, you know, look at it, because every time you look at it, thank you, Father, for your new car. Now, at that time, I was playing more golf, and so every golf swing, whether it was good, whether it was bad, I thank God for my new golf clubs. Every time I swung a golf swing. I will say, if I went to the driving range, I didn't necessarily do a driving range. And I didn't do, for whatever reason, I didn't do it when I putted. Because I'm a decent putter. My drives are not the best in the world. Anyway, so I thank God for my new golf clubs. And so here's what I said. I told the Lord, here's the way the golf clubs are going to come. I wasn't trying to tell him. I'm just saying, if somebody hands me money, you know, we call it a Pentecostal handshake or something like that, I'm going to assume they're for my new golf clubs. Or if someone wants to go buy me new golf clubs, I'll take that too. I don't care. Cash, check, money order, however it comes, doesn't matter. So, you know, so this was July, first part of July. And so couple of weeks later, we were at Christian Bookstores Convention, which is something that we go to sell our books. And there was a putting contest. And that guy had a 40-foot putt there, and he already done the math. A 40-foot putt basically was, you know, there was you put some astroturf on the floor. So according to the thing, they figured maybe one person will make this 40-foot putt, you know, in 5 days at this convention. And so they put a $500 cash prize on the 40-foot putt. All right. So, and the way is, whenever you order from this company, you actually, you could, you got so many putts. We got 5 putts. So I'd already asked my mom previously before we even started, if I can make the putt, do I get to keep the cash? Cause I want to make sure, cause you know, I want to make sure, you know, we do this right. I'm not going to try to steal money, but you know, I had to work for that. All right. So here I'm the first guy. Cause they were actually, we bought all kinds of stuff from this company already. So we were the first one, you know, first ones there. Cause they're right by our booth. So here we go. We get 5 putts. So like, you know, we placed our order. They go, well, that's enough for 5 putts for, you know, so I'm like, cool. I walked to the first putt, you know, just, you know, and I'm not the best golfer in the world. Okay. So don't. So I am a decent putter. Anyway, moral of the story, I sank the first putt, 40 foot putt, first time out of the hat. First person sank the $500 cash money. All right. So I'm there with Tim Rogers. Tim Rogers ran from Mexico. He actually was on his way to Mexico. So I'm like, you take the rest, other four. So third putt, Tim puts it in. Tim's a good golfer, actually. So $500 for Tim. So when I got to back up. So as soon as I put the putt in, got the, you know, they told me I won $500. I gave him a testimony. You know what? I'm believing God for golf clubs. And I believe that God helped me make that putt so I can get $500 for my golf clubs. And that's what, so when Tim got his putt, he told me, hey, I'm going to Mexico. And I've been believing God for money. And that's going to, and so I will say, so then I took the next 2 putts and we decided that we're going to give that to the ministry. We missed. All right. So, so $1,000. So as soon as we got done, first customers, they changed it to $500 credit. No cash money. So anyway, now this is $500. Now, I was actually believing, if you know anything about golf, I was believing, you know, God for a set of, they were big Bertha irons. And I was believing God for metal, you know, this steel shaft, nothing special. And I think it was only going to be like $650, maybe $700, whatever it was. So I was almost there. And I'm going to tell you what, the next 3 weeks, the windows of heaven became opening and money came pouring in. Well, you know, one thing too, it happened to me my birthday and my birthday. They do have advance to have my birthday because it's the middle of camp meeting. But people who never give me a birthday gift gave me birthday gifts. And you know, the Bible talks about exceedingly abundantly, more than we ask or think he wants to bless us. Moral of the story, at the end of my birthday, well, not at the end, but before my, you know, before my birthday was over, before camp meeting finished, and camp meeting was over, I was able to not only buy a new big Bertha irons with graphite shafts, I bought a new 1, 3, and 5 wood. All right, I bought a new bag, I bought new shoes, I bought golf balls, I bought a golf hat, I bought a golf shirt, and I think I still had money left over. All right, so God blessed me exceedingly abundantly, more than I ask or think. All right, but you know what? I was thanking God for my new golf clubs as soon as it happened. And it's, you know, when I prayed, I'm going to go on record that I didn't think it was going to happen like 3 or 4 weeks, okay, or less than a month. But when I prayed, I expected to get new golf clubs. Why? Because God loves me. So do you expect to get your healing? Do you expect to get whatever you need? Because God loves you too. All right, and so he blessed me exceedingly abundantly more than I could think. Now, I got to go on record is my golf game did not get any better. I did take lessons. I did help out probably more than the equipment, but I looked the part. I had everything I needed. I mean, I had brand new everything. You know, I mean, it was, you know, even, you know, I all my golf equipment was brand new because, so then I took my old ping clubs and gave them to somebody else because, you know, I mean, why not bless somebody else? And then later on, I actually had an opportunity, talking about paying it forward. I had a bunch of American Express points, and I knew somebody that was believing God for, he wanted King Cobra golf clubs, and I noticed that I could buy it with my American Express points, so I didn't have to pay cash money, so I bought it. I bought him some set of King Cobra golf clubs. So not only did I get free golf clubs, somebody else did too. I was a blessing to somebody else. And you know, but God loves me as much as he loves you. And the deal is, when I prayed, I expected. Do you expect? do we expect? Sometimes we expect it. Now, sometimes we expect it when we pray. Do we expect it 3 weeks later? I mean, do we expect it? See, a lot of times what happens is we don't stay focused. Well, I guess God's not going to do it for me this time. No, he's already done it for you. You know, I mean, all you got to do is believe. Now, anyway, I guess I'm not going to go further than Hebrews 11 on today. I have more notes, but anyway. Amplified classic version, not the newest version. Hebrews 11 1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So, see, our faith is not revealed to our senses. So our senses don't matter. What we feel doesn't matter, but I like the word, the title deed. Now, when you say the word title or title deed, you think a couple of things. People think of a house or a car. You have a car title or a new car. You know, so you have a car title or you have a title for your house. Now, when you have it, that means it belongs to you. Now, do you realize if I have the title to my car and you decide to drive off with my car, even if you found the keys somewhere, that doesn't make the car. Even if I told you you could drive the car and you decided to keep it, that doesn't make it your car. All right? Even if, as long as I have the title, it's still my car. And even if I decide to let you borrow it for a while. But if you drive off with my car, you know, and I don't want you driving off with my car, then I can go to the law enforcement agency and say, I have the title to that car. That car is mine. I want it back. All right? So that title means I have it. It's mine. Well, your faith is your title. I mean, it's a paper saying that whatever you believe in God for, that's yours. Now, unlike a title for a lot of cars and a lot, especially houses, is unfortunately, if you read the title, you're not the only name on it. And I'm not talking about you and your wife, you know. I'm saying your name, and then there's a lending institution's name that really you both own the property or own the car, all right, until you pay it off, and then it's only your name. Here's the thing. Whenever you believe, the title deed belongs to you and you only. All right, and I guess if there's any one name on it, it's Jesus Christ, because, you know, his name is the name above all names. But we are joint heirs together. Anything that belongs to our Father also belongs to us. You know, a lot of times growing up for a while, I mean, you know, my parents, they had boats. I guess they had boats again. We sold them and they bought more. I don't know why. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. And so I would always say, you know, I didn't say my parents have boats. I would say that we have boats. You know, well, why? Well, you don't have nothing. Yeah, but I have access. See, I have access because through my Father, I have access to everything that he has. You know, there's actually been a few times, for whatever reason, that when he's been out of town or they've been out of town, I've gone over because I have a key to their house. All right. And their alarm code is probably more important than the key to their house, because that way police don't come. But I've actually went and borrowed their car without even asking them, because, you know what? I know they let me or whatever. And especially there was one time it actually snowed or whatever. And I don't know where my SUV was, but you know, for the three times it does snow, or maybe I didn't have one at the time, I went and borrowed their, cause they always have an SUV, went and borrowed, you know, their SUV. Now there's been times that they've told me, hey, you know, if you want to use my car, I can, but I'll go use it anyway. Cause it, you know, it's my Father's car. So if my Father, anything belongs to my Father also belongs to me. It's the same way with God. Your Heavenly Father, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you that anything that belongs to him also belongs to you? Some of you might remember the Singers of Man song we used to sing, God's got it. Well, if God has it, then it's yours too. And that's the thing. You don't realize how special you are. So do you realize that, the greater is he that's in me than he in the world? The greater one lives on the inside of you. I mean, it's so awesome who you are. So it's really easy to believe that God's going to work his word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when faith comes in, you have it now. You're not looking for it to come in the future. All right? You have it now. You're not believing you're going to get something. I mean, I remember one time in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we were having a meeting, and there were a number of people that were in the healing line. And, you know, afterwards, that part of the group, you know, would work the book table. And so one of the ladies was back there and noticed he was in the healing line and says, "Well, did you get your healing today?" You know what the lady says? "Well, I sure hope so." Hoping's not a getting. All right? You have to believe that you receive. All right? And so, but what happens is because we don't feel so, we think we don't got it. Or there's times where, I know times where we prayed for and we don't, the pain left. And that's awesome until like 3 days later, the devil tries to bring the pain back. And a lot of times what happens is we'll say, "Well, I guess I didn't get my healing." Well, how do you get something you already have anyway? I mean, the healing, it's yours. All right? It belongs to you. You can't get some. And so what happens is the devil tries to talk. He tries to mentally talk us out of it all the time. All the time. He tries to put thoughts in our mind. Well, when's this going to happen? According to the dictionary, when is not faith? How is not faith? Where is not faith? You're like, but I don't get it. I'm going to read one more scripture. This is the Old Testament. And mainly for, I know some, we have a lot of guests here for Raymond College weekend. And whether you ever come back to Raymond, at least you can hear one message on faith. Well, hopefully you'll hear more than one. But anyway, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I like this because it really helps us for people who don't understand things. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Notice it says all. It doesn't say half. It doesn't say three-fourths. Because I am convinced, with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. But I'm convinced that if God will provide 75% of our needs, we will be thrilled with that. But God wants to provide all your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you know, and then Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. So it says to trust in the Lord with all our heart. So just trust God, all right? Now, if you're going to bed worrying about your situation, you're not trusting God with all your heart. Because if you're worried about it, you haven't cast your cares on the Lord. But the next verse is really good. That's what I want. It says, "Lean not to your own understanding." Because so many times we don't understand how it's going to happen. I don't care if you understand how it's going to happen. It doesn't matter whether you understand. Your understanding is not important. The Bible says to only believe, drop the mic. Doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say you have to understand. Because here's the thing, I don't understand a lot of times. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when, where, why. I don't know none of those things. All I know is that God loves me and God wants to bless me. And Jesus Christ already died on the cross. Jesus Christ already took the stripes on his back. And so I already have it. I already have the title deed. It's already mine. I don't have to look for it. I don't have to hope and pray for it. All I have to do is claim it by faith. And when faith comes in, it's always immediate. And whenever I decide that I'm going to use my faith, there is nobody going to talk me out of it. No devil in hell. You know, no other person is going to be able to say, going to talk me out of it, because the word of God, what does God's word say? And God's word says it's mine. And if God's word says it's mine, then I'm going to have it. I don't care what it looks like. It's impossible. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. So I'm not worried about how hard it looks. I'm not worried about it. It seems like that I won't get it. I'm not worried about, I don't feel like I have it. All right. We're not going by my feelings. All right. You need to get your feelings out of the way. Too many people wear their feelings on a shoulder, you know, more, you know, somebody got mad at them on Facebook and they went into depression. I mean, that sounds crazy, but people do that kind of stuff. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not about how we feel. It's about what does God's word say? Amen. Well, we're going to stop there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. Father God, we just thank you that although everything that we said today was just simple and easy, and most people probably know it, but we thank you, Father, that we're going to continue to build our faith by continuing to hear messages of faith. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst today. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. So here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Craig, I've never been saved. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life, and I want to this morning. If that's you, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Maybe here today and said, Craig, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. My grandfather always talked about having a no-so experience with God. You know, just because you live in a garage does not make you a car. Just because you come to church does not make you a Christian. The only way to become a Christian is to be born again, to accept him as your heavenly as your heavenly Father. So if that's you, if you've never been saved, just raise your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here today and you said, Craig, I know what it is to be saved. I've walked with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back, and I want to come home today and publicly rededicate myself to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Across the auditorium. We don't want to miss anybody. If someone's here and they want to rededicate their life, if someone's here that needs to be saved. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that needs to be saved. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis, and we thank you for setting them free and saving them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. We just want to, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. The Connection team is in the aisle. They have a, they want to take you back to the North Lobby and give you a special gift. We want to also welcome, once again, thank you for you that came for Raymond College Weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we're praying for safe travels on your way home. Hopefully we'll see you back soon. All right. Amen. Well, don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. right here, or you can watch us online. Amen. The pastors are headed to the door at this time. Like I said, we like to shake your hands. So please, you know, at least sometime come out our door so we can, where we're going to be is on the screen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll see you later.